John in chapter 11. Remember John 11? That's when he healed, or he brought back to life Lazarus. That's in 11. And he wept there when he saw that Lazarus was dead, 11:35. And I think it's verse 8 of chapter 11 or somewhere around there. He says, what are you concerned about? Don't you know the day is 12 hours? And we know the rest of that. And there's 24 hours and an evening and a day, so the night is 12 hours. And so Jesus locks in the time frame. Look what he does here in the fourth day of creation, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs. For signs every day and night, every night and day, a sign to us that God created the heavens and the earth. His procedure was to use 24-hour days, six of them, and create all things within those 6 days. Every single thing. What was his priority? Look at verse 26 of chapter 1. He did have a priority in his creation. Oh, he followed a systematic approach to bringing everything into existence, but he had a priority. What was his priority? Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now, in the fifth day, he created the fish and the fowl of the air. In the sixth day, he's going to create all creeping things upon the earth, all cattle. Everything that fits into those categories he creates. But at the end of the sixth day, he prioritizes his creative act. His priority is to bring into existence in his own image a person, a human who he can have a relationship with. He is going to give that human being that he creates a free will. He's not going to create a robot who will do everything that he is told to do or she is told to do. God wants the love, the fellowship. He's going to have fellowship. We'll see in the garden, he had fellowship. He had a relationship with man and with woman. But his priority was bringing into existence humankind. And so much was it a priority, he did it in his own image. The attributes of God are within our own characteristics. Have you ever heard that your children get their idea of God from a father? Yeah. Boy, does that put a responsibility on us, dads? The understanding of God. Don't even have to pick up the book to study the doctrinal truths of God. What's my relationship with my dad? How does my dad act and respond and direct and guide? Because we were created in his image, in an order. What an awesome responsibility it lays on us. His priority, bringing man into... By the way, his priority was such that when man fell, he was so concerned. He said, son, I've got to bring them back in fellowship with me. There's no other way. I set the system in place. You must go. That's how much I love them. That's the high priority for man that I have created. I will give my own son to bring him back into fellowship with me so that I can be with him eternally. His priority. Procedure, he did it on the sixth day. Priority, he brought man into existence. And everything he did was perfect. Oh, look at this. I got to show you this. Go with me, if you will, over here in chapter 1. And look at verse 4 just for a second. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God saw that these things were unbelievably beautiful. God's going to bring forth his perfection. And God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. This is the third day of creation. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters, he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God saw it was good. Look at verse 18. And this is on the fourth day of creation. He brings the sun, the moon, and the stars into existence. Verse 18, to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Look at verse 21. God created great whales. This is the fifth day of creation. He brings fowl and fish into the scene. Verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Look at verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Look at verse 31. This is the epitome statement. This is the ultimate. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now that's the King James interpretation. The Hebrew, it was abundantly excellent. Everything he saw, oh, don't you love that, was abundantly excellent. Everything. It was perfect. Now that will destroy a so-called theory that there was a gap between chapter 1, verse 1 and chapter 1, verse 2. Trying to conform to so-called science. We Christians sometimes, I have a King James Bible, glory to God, hallelujah. I got a King James Scofield. Whoa, that is good. But Mr. Scofield says that there was a gap between chapter 1, verse 1 and chapter 2, 1, verse 2. A gap of thousands and thousands of years. Maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years. Trying to conform to so-called modern day science. There was no gap. The earth was made perfect when he created it. And then he started adding things to it. How do I know that? Chapter 1, verse 31. I saw everything I created in 6 days, and it was abundantly excellent. By the way, there was no evil in those first 6 days. That means there was no Satan in the first 6 days. Angels had been created on the first day, but there was no evil angels in 6 days of creation. Everything, that starts to destroy some theology of some of these so-called great, profound Bible teachers you're watching on television, who put up all these charts. One of the things that makes me sick, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, is this one little toad out in Texas that puts up this chart and says, evil angels are prehistoric. Prehistoric is an oxymoron. There's nothing prehistoric except God. Because history started in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. And that's history is the record of time, the record of what has taken place. And when God got finished, he said, I looked back over the 6 days of creation and everything was abundantly excellent. My procedure was 6 24-hour days. I created everything in those 6 24-hour days. My priority was to bring man, human being, into existence so I could have a relationship, a fellowship with him. And I was perfect in all that I did. Perfect was an act of deity. All of creation, which would bring into existence the Garden of Eden. Now let's go to the Garden of Eden. Chapter 2. Let's look at the Garden of Eden. I want to look, or endeavor to give you an accurate description of the Garden of Eden. Because in this study, we're aiming towards discovering the original site of the Garden of Eden, the future site of the Garden of Eden, and determining the prophetic significance of that knowledge. And I'll tell you, I know the end from the beginning. The Alpha, I know the Omega from the Alpha. And I can tell you, you're going to be blown away when we get to the end. Just hang in there with me. But we got to lay the basis for understanding.